Good morning. It is a Wednesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Schar, talking on this Wednesday. Another election, a runoff. Now, after the Democrat in Georgia House race has just missed a victory there, that's John Ossoff. He will face Karen Handel, the top Republican vote-getter in a June runoff.
Well, David, a couple of things here. Number one, it was a huge victory for the Democrat. Donald Trump knew it was coming and was saying, let's get it into a runoff. We'll win in a runoff. Let's get it into a runoff. Nevertheless, you know, the amount of votes just short by, I think, a point and a half that Ossoff got was incredible in a Republican district. So he's going to go into a runoff. Everybody will throw everything but the kitchen sink in there, the Republicans and the Democrats. Money has been coming in from all over the country for Ossoff, which probably cost him that point and a half because it was a talking point for the Republicans. A, that he was brought up in the district, but he didn't live there right now. And B, that there's all of this outside money, millions and millions of dollars, I think over $7 million for Ossoff. And there was some resentfulness about that. Nevertheless, a huge victory for this young man of 30 years of age, and who shows you the incredible pent-up angst that exists among so many people. Frankly, I think it happened in the fund drive for WAMC, you know, this $1 million in a day fund drive, including, of course, the lockbox and the First Amendment fund. There are a lot of people who have been saying to me all along, Alan, what am I going to do here? Now, my job isn't to tell people what to do, but to observe what is happening. And it does seem there's an awful lot of people who want to stop Trump in his tracks.
Let's turn to North Korea. The White House declared that ordering an American aircraft carrier into the Sea of Japan would be a powerful deterrent to North Korea, except that, Alan, the carrier was sailing in the opposite direction.
Here's another good example of, one, the fact that Trump tells whoppers. I mean, the guy's a lawyer. Number two, that his base remains solid, and they're going to say, so what? He took advantage of the fact that they were there, sensible thing, wants to scare them. Why not do that? Now, the problem with his doing that is that he strains his credibility abroad and in other places, and with the very people that he's trying to scare, the North Koreans. So you say one thing, you do another. So all I'm going to say here is, in the long run, if you tell lies, it's going to come back and it's going to bite you in the posterior.
Will Bill O'Reilly be bit in the posterior, Alan? His future has dimmed now. Let's see a headline that the support of the Murdochs is eroding. It's expected that his fate will be discussed at a company board meeting this week, as another woman now has accused him of sexual harassment and protests are growing larger outside Fox offices in Manhattan.
This guy, I've always called him a stinker. I think he is. But his base is enamored of him. He and Ailes and the rest of that crowd have made their reputation as anti-PC, political correctness. And if that means doing the kinds of awful things that he's been accused of by so many women and payoffs galore, there are, again, people in that base who will support him in the same way they support Donald Trump. You know, Trump came right out and said, after O'Reilly got into trouble, you know, he's a good guy, he hasn't done anything wrong. Well, you know, there are people who beg to disagree with that. The interesting thing to me are the Murdoch kids. And they are proving themselves to have a different kind of ear than Papa did. Now, Papa built, and Roger Ailes built, a huge network, still the number one cable channel that more people listen to than anything else. It's amazing. And the kids seem willing to put that in jeopardy because they're doing the right thing. Well, that's what history is about. Profiles in Courage.
It was the name of a book. So let's stick with the book issue and the memoir that Governor Andrew Cuomo had written, All Things Possible, sold 3,200 copies, but he made $783,000 from HarperCollins on the book, prompting Tom Precious, after seeing the information reporting in the governor's income, how come he made that money on a memoir that only sold 3,200 copies?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Of course, I suspect he was a contender. I think that's the name of Mr. Schneerson's book, which was much better. The Cuomo books haven't sold well. And that may lead us to think, if there was an assumption that everybody was going to buy it by the publishers, after all, it was a bet, maybe there was a hope that they could get along with the governor. One can only project that people do things for governors and presidents because they think they can get in good with them. But in any case, they made a bad bet and it didn't pay off. And they gave him this fortune and he didn't donate it to charity. So it doesn't look good for him that so few people wanted it in his own state, because he's obviously running for president. And that may tell some people that all is not well with him.